bless you for your generous participation in the offering, and bless the Volpok team, Pitts and them's home cell, for serving us this morning. We really appreciate it. Thank you for each and every single one of you for making the time and the effort to come visit with us here this morning. So we've been taking several weeks to speak about prayer, fasting, hearing God's voice. We haven't even gotten to the fasting part. We've done the hearing God's voice, and we're going through different kinds of prayer this morning. And keeping in this theme, I'm reminded of the story about this little young boy that's raised by a Germany couple. He's raised, as Sisla said, on a Rikard bunker, and he's familiar with church settings. And he gets to the age of understanding where he's able to ask more pertinent questions. And he watches his dad at this gemeente wat wel office en so aan, so het een mooi kerkgebouw, en die kansel is daar hoog, en die dominee moet elke sonder opstap soon toe. And the little auntie sees his dad walking up there, and his dad stops, and he kneels just before he gets up to the council at the top of the stairs, and he prays. So one morning he asks, he says, Ma, wat doen pa daar so? He says, nee, pa kneel voor God. He says, oh, okay. And then wat doen hy? He says, nee, the mother explains, he may bid. He says, oh, what does he pray for? He says, no, he asks God to help him preach well. And the boy says, maar hoekom antwoord aan God nie sy gebede nie? So, I pray this morning that God answers my prayers and help me to speak just what he wants me to speak about, and that you don't waffle, that I don't waffle on, just beat around the bush. Last week, just to recap, if you're visiting with us this morning, I encourage you to, if you want to catch up on the series, you can get the recordings from the sound guys or get it off the website, bring a flash drive and load it on there for you. Last week we spoke about the most unselfish kind of prayer, the prayer of intercession. That's where you stand in the gap for somebody. And we looked at the requirements and how we discussed the phenomenon of being able to change God's mind, knowing what the heart of God is and having God change his mind concerning something, and standing in the gap and willing to have intimacy with God, and as Christians standing in the gap and interceding where God has called us to that, so that we might live quiet and peaceable lives through intercession. We looked at the intercession of Jesus before the cross. We looked at the intercession of Jesus after the cross. And then we practically applied what we learned. We took an opportunity as a church just to intercede for the church. We looked at the fact that almost all of the prayer in the scriptures for the church, for the body of Jesus Christ, because ons kan nie uitvoer wat ons self nie reg gekry het nie. Is dit nie so nie? We can't export and tell people about something that we don't have. So it's important to get the things right within the family of God before the family of God can then go and be a blessing to those that are not the family of God. Are we all clear on that? This week, we're going to speak about, we're going to see how far we get. I'm just going to touch on them quickly and see how far we get. I'm not going to rush through it. I believe it's important. We're coming to an end of the kind of prayers, and then we're going to end off with fasting. And then we'll declare a fast in this church. I can see how excited the people are. Because you think for yourself, ons kan nie sê nou gaan ons braai. Ons gaan nie nou braai nie. Ons gaan oor 'n paar dae eers braai. But anyway, be that as it may, we're going to talk about the prayer of binding and loosing. What does it mean to bind and loose when Jesus teaches about this? We're going to look at the prayer of deliverance and how some people have special deliverance ministries. Should there be such a thing? And we're going to look at praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues. What does it mean? And then we're going to look at prophetic prayer. I don't think we're going to get all that way through that this week, but let's just see how we can get. So hold on to your seats, open your hearts and minds to receive from the Lord this morning, and enjoy the ride of your life with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer of binding and loosing. Before we kick off with that, our theme scripture for this series is Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. You can tell me what that says. I've said it several times, Sunday after Sunday. Come on. Come on. Somebody speak to me. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, there's one man that listens, Lord. Hallelujah. It's call upon me. Call to me. And I will answer you. That should be the foundation of our faith in why we pray. Call on me and I will answer you, says the Lord. And I will show you great and mighty things which we knew not. I said, nie vir dit was nie. Hoekom moet ons dan bid? Because it will just be religious stuff. If God doesn't make promises like that, can you say amen? And that's the encouragement for ons allemaal. Andre, say dan, call to me. Call to me and I will answer. It's a promise. It's call to me and I will answer. And I'll show you great and mighty things. Prayer of binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12 and the 29th verse. Jesus teaches some important principles how to engage the demonic and how to approach this thing called spiritual warfare. How many of you have heard of that phrase before? Spiritual warfare. Lots and lots and lots of books have been written about this stuff, and rightly so, but in essence it is very, very simple. We're going to teach you this morning, what does it mean to bind and to loose? Okay? So your shoelace comes untied or whatever, and you go and you kneel down and you tie the shoelace. Or you've done walking around for the day, you've done your shopping and done your journeying, and your shoelaces are tied, and you untie and you loose your shoelaces. It is as simple as that in the spiritual realm, but there are principles. So Jesus teaches in Matthew 12, verse 29, reading from this morning from the New King James as per usual, unless otherwise stated. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods? Unless he first binds the strong man. There's already a principle. Jesus says, you can't take somebody's stuff away unless you bind and tie that person up. Exactly the same with that which belongs to the children of God. The promises of God cannot be taken away from us unless we are bound. What are some of the things that can keep us in bondage? Disbelief, bitterness, unforgiveness, sin, lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Those things can keep us in a place of verbindenis, where the enemy can rightfully come and steal from us. We said this, that what kind of power does the enemy have? It's known as exousia. The Greek word is exousia, and it simply means that if there's willful, deliberate, repetitive, unconfessed sin in your life, he has a right of access to your life. If you're in a place of right standing with God, the devil cannot touch you. But when there's compromise in my life, the devil has a right to come and steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then sometimes, even when you are in a place of right standing, he presents himself to God like he did. God says, check out my servant Johnny. Check out my servant Pete. Can you see how faithful they are? And say, yeah, man, they're just faithful, and they're just all excited about you because things are going good in their lives. But just me, just unleash a little bit of my moeilikhede oor hulle lewens and kyk waar staan hulle dan. God says, okay. So sometimes the enemy has permission. Why? Because it's one thing for us to have faith in God. Amen? But God has faith in you, Div. He has faith in you, Mark. He has faith in you, Quibbs. He has faith in you. God has faith in you. And he says, okay. Okay. I'll let you have a little bit of access to my kids. And that's what this is about here. You cannot steal the strong man stuff unless you first bind him. You've got to bind the strong man. And then he will plunder his house. Jesus teaches that. So there's a principle of having the strong man bound first. In Matthew 18, 18, Jesus says, assuredly I say to you. That is like Jesus' way of saying, serious. Or for sure. Or like, totally, bro. Totally. It's like, totally. Jesus saying that. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now it's getting deep. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. But the converse is where it all starts. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And here it is. Whatever is bound in the heavenlies is bound on earth. Whatever is loosed in the heavenlies is loosed on earth. And that's the principle. Because what we see and experience here is a result of something that's already established in the spiritual realm. The chair that you're sitting on, I've shared this before, the chair that you're sitting on started in the spiritual realm. You think, huh? Yeah. Iemand het 'n gedagte gehad. Waar vandaan het hy gedagte gekry om 'n stoel te maak? Seker seerboude. Oesh. Het is nie meer lekker om op hierdie boomstompe te sit in die oerwoud nie. Ek moet 'n plan maak om hom glad te maak. En met a bank. It started off as an idea in somebody's head. And today you're sitting on it. That's why the Bible says, faith is the substance. What substance? Weefstof. No, weefstof is matter. No, matter is materie. What's substance? It's the, help me man. Anyway, weet jy waarvan ek praat? Substance is the substance. It's the faith is the substance of that thing that you say. Faith is the substance of anything that still needs to manifest in the natural realm. So when you have that, you've got that belief, you've got the ingredients, die bestanddele van dit waarop jy God waarin jy hom vertrou. Ek weet nie, help my maar hierso. You understand what I'm trying to say? You've got the ingredients of that which you're trusting God for. That's how it starts. That's why Jesus says, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And this is all to do in this particular realm which is described in the scripture. 1 John 5:19. That's why we need prayers of binding and loosing. 1 John 5:19. This prayer is important. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Think about that. It doesn't say the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hands. Did you know that's nowhere in the Bible? It says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Var los de dan ons. It leaves us with a commission. With a commission to go and bind what's here on earth in the heavenly so that then can be bound here. And then to loose what the promises of God in the heavenly so can be loosed here. That we can take back what the devil has stolen from us. Hallelujah. That gets me excited. It leaves us like the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Ons het dan 'n verantwoordelikheid. When Jesus came here, he came here to deliver and set free the world that was under the sway of the wicked one and the oppression of men with stuff like religion and rules and regulations and deception from the enemy. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Daarom moet mense dan nie vra nie, maar Here, hoekom gebeur dit? Die vraag is, hoekom het dit nog nie gebeur nie? Dis 'n kwessie van wanneer, nie of nie. You don't even have to try and serve God for the devil to come and steal, kill and destroy from you. He doesn't like you because you look like God. Akla. You look like God. You're made in the image of God, and therefore the devil wants a piece of you to steal from you. Can you say amen? Therefore, we have to understand this concept of binding and loosing in prayer. So what happens then in the heavenly realms in Hebrews 1:14? We looked at it last week as well. Hebrews 1:14 says that, speaks of the angels. It says that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth by God to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So angels minister for you. And binding and loosing works like this. This, in a nutshell, is the simplest, most scripturally accurate way I can teach what binding and loosing is. Are you ready? This will help you understand what this means. Binding and loosing simply means spirit-led speaking of God's word over a situation. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not complicated hoo-ah stuff. It's not only speaking in tongues. It's not only seeing dreams and visions and having spiritual gifts. Spirit-led speaking of God's word over a situation. Why do I say spirit-led? Did you know that the devil also quoted scripture? So the devil can also spew God's word out. And it... Vadan? So it doesn't mean because an oak can just quote scripture and stuff like that, that it is spirit-led stuff. Hello? It doesn't mean that. It must be spirit-led. Why spirit-led? Because then it's in the heart of God. And I wish we lived in the... Man, I wish I was like the apostles of the New Testament. It says that the word of God was confirmed by the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Thus onderscheiding. I'm like, wow, Lord, what happened? In other words, they didn't just speak. The Peters of the world would go and say, those begging, say, people of God, 5 kids, 10 fathers, 3 mothers, no job help, please with it. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he grabs him and he picks him up. No loop. En vandag? Vandag? Now, there are different interpretations and of what a miracle might be. To be honest with you, most of the time in this modern day and age in which we live, be honest with yourself, we don't need a miracle. Think about it. Most of the time. Think about it. Do you really, really need a miracle? Somehow, somewhere along the line, we've got systems in place to make our lives more comfortable. It was very, very, very different then in biblical times. Sometimes just to get by on certain things, they couldn't do with anything but a miracle. So don't be too focused on the miracles. I mean, the people of God, the Israelites, experienced 40 years of miracles. Maar raai wat? They were in the desert. Hulle was nie eens in die beloofde land nie. Think about that. They weren't even in the promised land. They were in the desert. So you can long for miracles and footer around in the desert like a camel jockey, or you can step into the promised land. It's your choice. So don't get so hung up on the miraculous like that. Okay? So to reiterate, binding and loosing means spirit-led speaking of God's word into situations. Now, here's how it works. What moves the hand of God? Faith. Faith in Him and His desert. So people say, I'm standing in the word. Now don't go, if you're visiting this church, say, in die kerk, hulle disrespekteer die Bybel en doen sulke goed. I'm standing on God's word. Okay, that's great. It's guesstimated that approximately 7,000 or 8,000 promises in this Bible. Which one of the promises am I standing on to believe in that which I'm believing God for? So I'm trusting God for a financial breakthrough, okay? Where's the promise? Where's the word of God that I'm believing in to get His hand to move? Nee, Here, ek vertrou op U. Ek staan op U woord. I'm trusting God for a healing in my body. Where's that scripture? I'm trusting God for to get favor in the workplace that I get the sales and other people that are not honoring God don't get the sales. What scripture am I standing on? Sien jy waar vandaan dit kom? I have to understand that I need to understand spirit-led speaking of the word of God into situation. And I take that word of God and I use that word of God. It builds up faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And then I hear that and then I speak it out into the atmosphere. And it's declared here. It's heard in the heavenlies. And in the spiritual realm, it changes things. It brings things according to the word of God in the spiritual realm. And because I believe it, it comes to pass in the natural realm. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how spiritual warfare is engaged. That's how you do binding and loosing. Speaking the word of God so that the Lord can commission angels to minister for those who will inherit salvation and bring to pass the promises of God in your life. The prayer of binding and loosing. Happiness? Clear. It's not complicated. It's simple. It is spirit-led speaking of God's word into particular situations. That is binding and loosing. Because we wrestle not against principalities and powers. I'm going to read that portion of scripture for you. Ephesians 6, 12 to 18, and then we'll go on to the next kind of prayer. For we do not, Ephesians 6, 12 to 18, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. I want to pause there. You don't have to go back. It says the evil day. Evil day because the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It speaks about all the armor of God, including binding and loosing. Speaking about the armor of God, the truth of the Word, the belt that holds the armor together, the breastplate of righteousness. What does it do? What does the breastplate do? It guards your heart. You know that my heart is pure before you, Lord, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The shield of faith. The shield of faith stops the fiery darts of the enemy from coming, correct? No. They'll still come. But it stops them from hitting your head and your heart. They'll still come. Daarom het ons 'n skild. We've got a shield of faith to stop the fiery darts from hitting us, but it doesn't mean they stop coming. Hulle kom nog. Just choose to pick up your cross daily and follow Jesus and kyk wat gebeur. Okay, so the shield of faith. Then the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, I'm ready to go and tell. But I'm also, the thing that enables me is the word of God. It's the enablement of me is the word of God. And then what I go and tell is the word of God. And then the helmet of salvation. Salvation, I'm saved, Lord. And the devil comes and says, Ja, maar. Jy het alweer gesondig. Omrede jy gesondig het, is jy regtig waar gered? Are you really born again? Are you really ready for heaven? Comes with all these negative doubts. But you put the helmet of salvation on. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony that I have. It guards my mind, what I see, what I hear, and what I speak. The fact that I'm saved, salvation, the free gift of salvation that cost Jesus, I put that on. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I said this before, and sometimes I catch myself out doing it. I say, Lord, your word says, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but do we have to tell God about his word as much as what we have to tell ourselves? You see, you got the sword. So I take the sword. I'm taking the sword and say, Lord, your word says. I submit to you that we do that because we need to hear that. So I try and change my words. It's not a heaven or a hell thing or a theological something that's incorrect. I say, Lord, I remind myself that your word says. And I remind myself of what his word says. So you don't have to use the sword of the Spirit against God. It's his word. He knows that. The prayer of binding and loosing. There's several examples in Scripture. The cell leaders will get these in the notes of binding and loosing mentioned in the Scriptures. Are we clear on binding and loosing, folks? You learned something this morning. So if I ask you, let's see if you the test now. Here's the test. What is binding and loosing? Binding and loosing is? There you go. Spirit-led speaking of God's word into a situation. That's spiritual binding and loosing. Then the prayer of deliverance. The prayer of deliverance. Where do we get... Okay, I don't want to read the scripture because I'll actually give it away. But some people say and claim that they have a special ministry of deliverance. I have a ministry of deliverance. Is that a type of ministry for selected few? Think about it. Think carefully. What about God distributing gifts in the body as the Holy Spirit distributes gifts in the body as God sees fit? Think about that. Does everybody, you know, have a deliverance ministry? While you're thinking of your answer, consider this passage. Luke 4 and verse 18. This is Jesus. Luke 4 and verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is a New Testament scripture of an Old Testament messianic scripture about the anointing that's on Jesus. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's what Jesus says of himself. Now, to give you the context of where this happened, that's why I love Jesus. So, it was correct to have like a well-structured seven-point sermon. If you're a rabbi, it's hermeneutically correct to have a seven-point sermon when you present your teaching in the temple. You take out the scrolls and the writings of the prophets, etc., and you read it out, and you make 7 points. So Jesus stands up in the temple, and he goes and he reads from Isaiah, the prophecy about him. And he gets up, and he reads 6 points, and he sits down. And all the learned religious folk of the day are like, hello? Where's your 7th point? And he sits down. He, the number of perfection, 7, was the 7th point of his sermon. He said, that anointing is upon me to do A, B, C, D. And he mentions the 6 points. And he sits down. Is fulfilled in me today. Punt. Number 7. Perfection complete. That's the context. Wow. I cry some winner face on the vooraf. But that's the anointing upon Jesus to do this, right? To do this. So it's speaking about liberty and deliverance. To bring deliverance to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. Set at liberty the captives. Recovery of sight to the blind. Liberty to those who are oppressed. And then Jesus says in John 20, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So then, can we say that deliverance ministry is exclusive to select individuals? So no, you've got to call so-and-so because this person is besit or whatever and die demoon moet dan uitgedryf word. Well, maybe the only demoon that's daar is, sit maar net hier so. Hulle noem het hardnekkigheid. You're just going to love the person into a place of submitting to God, dan is die gastige demoon, dan is dan gone. You see, a lot of the times, the things that keep us in a place of bondage is our own disobedience, our own disbelief, our own attitude. Me hanging on to things that people have done to me where I feel I've been hurt and whatever, and I don't want to forgive and I don't let go, and I keep reminding myself, yeah, but do you remember? So, I submit to you that as an anointed Christian, we all supposed to have a deliverance ministry to be able to pray the prayer of deliverance. To pray and set people free. You go and you speak the word of God over somebody's life. You speak the word of God and you call on things that be not as though they are. And you bring about the deliverance that the word of God can bring. That's the ministry that we're all called to have. Not some specialized few with a special deliverance ministry. If you're an anointed Christian and you believe in the word of God, you have what it takes to set people free. People. You have what it takes to set people free. Share the good news in a simple way. Don't try and be teachy and preachy and try and be like some. Just be you. God has put you together. The gospel coming out of your mouth will be like the gospel out of nobody else's mouth. Hallelujah. So I'll submit to you that we all have this the ministry of deliverance to be able to pray the prayer of deliverance to set people free. Who's God sent in your life to bring about the deliverance of His Word, deliverance through His Word, I apologize, in their lives? Think about it a little bit. Think about it a little bit. You say, Mozzie, yeah, well, if it wat het ek om te deel? I want to tell you now, if you have knowledge of salvation through Jesus, you have everything. You have everything that people need. You know, the biggest church in the world, it's like 1.1 something million, where they have a cell leaders meeting, it fills a stadium of 100,000 people. It's the Yodi Full Gospel Church in South Korea, pastored by David Yonggi Cho or Paul Yonggi Cho, whatever you want to call him. You know how they appoint cell leaders? Once the person's born again and filled with the Spirit, start a cell. Yeah, in this church, I know we have all sorts of criteria. You've got to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm not saying it's wrong, because you can't just appoint anybody to whatever, you know. People show commitment and faithfulness and willing, but that's how they appoint their cell leaders. That's how the church is that size. It grows. You're born again, you're full of the Spirit. Right, now go tell others. Go tell others. Hulle soek nie vir verskonings nie. Hulle is gevul met die Heilige Gees, dan gaan hulle. So, just something to consider. The prayer of deliverance. Use the word of God. Now, I don't want to delve too much into this. There is much that can be taught about how to engage the demonic and to pray for deliverance and that kind of thing. And, you know, there's certain things that need to be in place in the life of the person that besit us and in the person that's praying for the person. But this is just about the types of prayer. We'll talk about that maybe some other time, about how to go about this whole deliverance ministry thing. So, next thing I want to talk about is the prayer of travailing, prevailing, and groaning. Now, travailing simply means to strive with intense effort or anguish. To strive with intense effort or anguish. What kind of prayer that is. I remember there was a season in my life where I'd weep. And I said, Lord, but, you know, if being born again is supposed to be about being filled with joy and stuff like that, and then God just quickened this to my heart. It says that Jesus, in Scripture in Isaiah, it says that He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Because when the Spirit of God would, and still today it's like that, when the Spirit of God moves upon me, one of the first manifestations other than praying in tongues is I just weep. I just weep and weep and weep and weep and weep. But when it comes to prayer, it speaks about praying where you travail and you prevail, that you continue, and there's groaning as well. And travailing means to strive with intense effort or anguish. Let's just look at some scriptural examples. Yeah, we might just get through this one this Sunday, and we'll carry on with praying in the Spirit at another time. Okay, the prayer of prevailing, travailing, and groaning. In Luke 19 and verse 41, speaks about Jesus approaching the city of Jerusalem. It says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. He wept over it. So we start to see Jesus entering into a place of travailing in prayer, prevailing in prayer, and we're going to see how he groans in the spirit as well. So he wept over the city. And one of the other gospels speaks about he comes and he sees the crowds, he's moved with compassion, and he says, now I saw you and how I wept for you and I longed to cover you with my wings. Speaking about he longed to protect them. But they didn't choose that. In Luke 22:42, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. This is Jesus in the garden prior to his arrest. And then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood. It has been medically established that when a person is subjected to extreme stress, the pores in your skin can dilate to the point where blood moves past all 7 layers of your skin to the top surface of your skin with extreme stress. Jesus didn't just manage the Gethsemane experience, the arrest, the crucifixion, just because he was God. He experienced in full capacity of a human being that feels pain, hurt, heartache, suffering, just like every one of us. And in that time, praying, that's where he prayed, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He travailed with groanings in the spirit as well, to the point where his blood surfaced through his skin and came out with his sweat. John 11:33. And therefore when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. This is the time of the death of Lazarus. When he saw them weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Acts 7:34. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. Speaking about God seeing the groaning of the people. So there's a kind of prayer where we travail and we prevail and we groan in the spirit with intense effort and agony. What happens here is that during a time of intercession, God shares a little bit of the burden on your heart and in your spirit that he feels in the spirit, standing in the gap for people that are lost or in situations that are traumatic, painful, and suffering. And you feel that burden and you feel the pain and you feel that. Times in intercession, for those of you that intercede frequently, you'll feel that you'll feel an uneasiness, a discomfort, or some kind of a heaviness, not something in particular that you can put your finger on. But you feel a heaviness and you didn't know what to pray for. So you pray in the spirit. And you pray and you pray and you pray. You experience a breakthrough and a release in the spirit. Somewhere in the spiritual realm, God has done something to change that situation. By praying in the spirit. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole of creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. That portion of scripture, it says, the whole of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's like creation, which is spoken into existence by the word of God, waits for sons and daughters of God to rise up, to speak God's word into situation. It says, therefore, the revealing of the sons of God, the whole of creation groans and waits for the revealing of the sons of God. It says, creation groans. And then we touched on this last week, applicable to this type of prayer this week, groaning in the spirit. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want to stop there this week. I've been speaking for just on half an hour. Why and what makes it even possible for us to pray? As the deep end comes up, what makes it even possible for us to pray? In John 10, 15 and 17, I'm going to read it to you. I didn't give it to the sound guys. John 10, 15 and 17, Jesus says the following. As the deep end comes up and we contemplate the kinds of prayer that we have looked at for this week. In John 10, 15 and verse 17, Jesus says, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The reason we can pray today is because Jesus laid down his life. The reason if we have access to God today is because Jesus laid down his life. The reason that we have a God that answers prayers today is because Jesus laid down his life. In John 10:17, Jesus goes on to say, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." I want to give you this example. Richard, would you come up quickly here a moment, please, sir? Rich. So this week, as Richard stands over here, sitting there, minding his own business, completely innocent, please face the body this morning. So here I am, me, myself, and I let anger rise up in my heart this week. And I let hatred take hold of my mind and my thoughts. And in anger, I disobey scripture. Psalm 4:4 says, "In your anger do not sin, but in my anger I sin." And I let hate grab hold of me. And I do something in hatred. I speak and I think something in hatred. And according to Jesus' definition, if I in hatred speak over someone and say, "You fool," by hating, guess what I've done? I've committed murder in my heart. So I've sinned. And I've done wrong. So guess what? Somebody comes along and says, "Right now, Richard, you are going to be killed. You are going to die because of what Mozzie has done." That's what Jesus did. Do you think he'd be willing to do that? It would be absurd. He has to pay. Mozzie has to pay. He's the one that entertained those thoughts. He's the one that let it grab hold of his heart and to exercise that hatred and to speak it out and to act upon that in hatred. He must pay. Somebody comes along and says, "No, Richard must pay." Richard then chooses to lay down his life so that I can walk off scot-free as if I'd never even done it. That is why we can pray a prayer of binding and loosing. That is why we can pray a prayer of deliverance. That is why we can come with a prayer of prevailing, travailing, and a prayer of groaning. Because Jesus has done that already. Thank you, Richard. Bless you. You can take a seat. He has paid the price as if we have never done it at all. That's the reason we can pray. All of this teaching on prayer means nothing if we do not have a right of access to the Father. Because sin bridges the gap. And what is sin? People say, "Yeah, it's abuse of this substance. It's smoking that. It's sleeping around. It's this. It's that." Sin simply means missing the mark. It means missing the mark. It's the word that they shouted out years and years ago. The marksmen would aim at the targets with the arrows and they'd shoot and it would miss. And they'd shout out, "Sin! Missing the mark." And the reason we can be here this morning to pray these prayers is because Jesus has paid the price. Because we have missed the mark and will miss the mark. And so that frame of mind that I want us to contemplate, this kind of prayer. We're going to practically be obedient like we done last week. We're going to bind and we're going to loose this morning. And I want us to pray together as we pray. Sit there and contemplate this in your mind and in your heart. That you can pray to God in the name of Jesus, like he taught us to pray, because he laid down his life. He said there, we read in that scripture, "I lay down my life and I can take it again." So that we can have access to the Father. And with that in mind, because of what Jesus has done, think of a situation where you need to declare Spirit-led speaking of God's Word into a situation in your life, right there where you sit. Think about that situation. And ask the Holy Spirit to quicken to your mind a scripture that you've read, a scripture that you've heard, a scripture that you've learnt, a scripture that you understand. And speak that scripture into that situation this morning, right there where you sit, in the name of Jesus. And if you're not sure of a scripture, ask God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. Ask God, Lord, show me a scripture. Show me a promise from your word where I can speak this into the heavenlies, Lord. That I can tie up the works of the devil, Lord God, in the heavenlies, so that it's tied up here on earth. That if it's bound in heaven, Lord, it's bound on earth because of what Jesus has done and because of your word. And pray that into your situation. Maybe it's a situation where it needs loosing, or something needs deliverance, or someone needs deliverance, or you need deliverance from a mindset or something, or fear, or anger, or bitterness, or unforgiveness, whatever it is. Pray, Lord, give me a scripture. Give me your word, Lord God. Remind me of that. Jesus, you promised that the Holy Spirit would remind me of everything that you teach me, Lord. It says so in John 14:26. Remind me of that this morning, Lord, that I can speak it into the situation that I'm facing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's because of what you've done, Lord Jesus, that we can pray to you this morning. We pray to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Maybe you want to pray a prayer of deliverance for somebody that you know is not walking with Jesus. They're battling with something. They're struggling with something. And you just want to speak the liberty of God into their lives. And ask God, Lord, quicken a scripture to my heart. One that I love to use. And is very, very powerful. Share that with you as we pray together. Psalm 138:8. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He will perfect that which concerns me. He will bring it all into line, that which concerns me. Speak that into that situation in the name of Jesus. Speak that into the situation in Jesus' name. And then Romans 8:28. I just feel prompted in my spirit to share that. It says, all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. You speak that into the situation that you need deliverance for and setting free. And the prayer of travailing and prevailing and groaning and in agony, that's between you and the Trinity and your prayer closet. You might have that burden right now where you seat it in your heart. Continue to pray. Continue to press through. Travail and prevail in anguish until God brings that breakthrough. Lord, we your people this morning as we've prayed together as a body of believers. We thank you this morning that it's because of what you have done, Lord Jesus, we come to the Father. And as we're in an attitude of prayer this morning, if you're sitting here this morning and you're not even confident in your relationship with Jesus, you think, God, if I had to die right now, waar sal ek die ewigheid deurbring? Here, ek is nie eens versekerd van my saligheid nie. Die ewige lewe is vir my, dis 'n geheim, Here, dis iets wat vir my, dit voel asof dit ver af weg is vir my af is. If you're in a place where you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus, because of something that you've done, maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I don't know, but you want assurance of your salvation, I'd love to pray with you this morning. It would be our privilege to pray with you this morning to give you assurance of salvation. If you're not sure that you're going to spend an eternity in heaven, and you want to make your heart right with God, right there where you're seated as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, would you raise your hands? Anybody like that? If you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus, thank you. If you've raised your hands and I've made eye contact with you, you can put your hand down. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. You can put your hand down. Anybody? Bless you. I want us to stand together. Thank you. There's people raising their hands several places and all this morning. Let's stand together as we pray and worship the Lord together. Let's stand together this morning. Bless you, Jesus. I want you to continue to pray. Please state, this is the most important time of the service, people. It's when men and women humble themselves, just raise their hands to God and say, God, I need you. It is more important than all of my preaching, what is happening right now. Please stay focused. Stay focused on Jesus. And if you just pray in the Spirit, if you're full of Spirit, pray in the Spirit. This is important, what's happening in people's hearts this morning. We sang this morning, Lord, you're here. You're turning lives around. You're changing lives. That's what's happening right now as we pray together. For those folks that have raised your hands, I know you. I know you, and God knows you. God knows you. God knows your heart. God knows where you're at spiritually this morning. And because you've raised your hands in humility, I want you to pray in your heart with me as we declare and speak this out softly as you pray to yourself. Don't just think it. Pray with me, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come before you. In humility, I acknowledge, Lord, I don't know where I stand with you. I'm not sure, Lord, of my salvation. And it's because of that, I lifted up my hand. A simple gesture. Like a child, I raised my hand. And I said, Lord, I'm not sure. Jesus, you died for me. With my mouth, I declare. And with my heart I speak, Jesus, you're God's Son. You died for me. You shed your blood to save me. God, forgive me. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. Wash me clean. Make me new. Take control of my whole life. Holy Spirit, come live in me. Reign in me freely and completely in Jesus' name. And if you've raised your hand this morning and you've prayed that prayer, maybe you've never prayed like that, maybe you've done it several times, the scripture promises that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord like that shall be saved. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And when the devil wants to come and lie to you again that you're not saved, you remind him of that and you say, I call in the name of Jesus and I believe that he's raised from the dead. I'm saved. And when he wants to come accuse you of guilt again, say, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When he wants to remind you of your sin, 1 John 1:9 says, God is faithful and just. If you can, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins if you confess and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You remind the devil of those things. And if that thought of doubt comes up again you speak these words, which is the word of God, over your situation until you're sure, because you're sure of your salvation. And I want to encourage you this, as we've stood together with you this morning and prayed with you because you've raised your hands, that you're not saved because you prayed this prayer. You're not saved because of anything you've done. You're saved this morning because Jesus has died for you. That's why you're saved. You're not saved because of what you have done, my brother, my sister. You're saved because Jesus has died for you and has set you free. And because Jesus has set you free, you're free indeed. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. I strongly encourage you to continue the confession of faith. If you raised your hand this morning when the devil comes to lie to you, remind him of these things and these scriptures that I've quoted. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together one more time.